Friends, once again, the Easter liturgy clearly shows us how awe and wonder open up the doors for God's mercy to do its wonderful work. Jesus wants us to be amazed so that he can lift us up from the things of this world, our burdens, our struggles, the false promises that we sometimes chase, but even the best that this world has to offer. He wants to lift us up to something infinitely better. In today's gospel passage, the disciples, we see them, they're gathered in fear and perhaps in shame too. Fear of the Jews, but shame for leaving their Savior behind. Yet Jesus comes to amaze them and lift them out of the confusion that immediately surrounds the resurrection. Peace be with you, he says twice, making clear that there's no reason to fear him. He's not back seeking revenge. He comes in peace. He also shows them his sacred wounds, which are not signs of defeat. He's transformed them into signs of victory, the very fountains of salvation. And we can see that clearly on our San Damiano crucifix here, where all of his wounds are flowing with the blood that saves us. Then he gives them the Holy Spirit for forgiveness of sins in a very intimate gesture. It's beautiful. He breathes on them. We don't breathe on too many people, right? That's not something you go around doing, or people might think you're a little weird, right? This is truly amazing what Jesus is doing here. He gives such great dignity to the same broken men who abandoned him, and his mercy heals and transforms them before our very eyes. But if you're not open to the wonder of this scene, to what's going on here, then you'll miss the truth being revealed and may even dismiss it outright as a possibility. This seems to be exactly what happens with Thomas, which now Thomas could be any of us or any of the other disciples that just didn't happen to be there when Jesus appeared. He kind of gets a bad rap that way. Nothing close to this has ever happened before in human history and hasn't happened since. And also, you know, Thomas might be thinking that these guys are making things up in their fear and the confusion. Maybe they're trying to pull a fast one on him. Who knows what he might have been thinking. Regardless, Jesus again seeks to amaze so that Thomas will open up and accept his divine mercy. He goes out of his way to meet Thomas where he's at and ensure that he will no longer be unbelieving, but believe. That's Christ's main concern. And it works. Of course it works. This Jesus knows what he's doing, right? The astonished Thomas utters his classic confession of faith, the most profound and beautiful one in the New Testament. My Lord and my God. He believes now, right? Jesus is always standing by for us too, brothers and sisters, seeking to reveal more of himself to us so that we will truly believe and then receive more of him and live in his resurrection glory. But are we looking? Are we looking for him? He's right there, reaching out to us in so many different ways. The first Christians give us a wonderful example to follow in today's first reading. Notice how everyone, it says everyone, breaks bread, prays, and shares life together. There's the three-legged stool right there. The Eucharist, breaking bread, the first leg, praying together, second leg, and then they're sharing life together. They're serving one another. That's the third leg. Everyone, not just a few of the members of the community, everyone. And awe comes upon them, which by now shouldn't be any shock. We see this over and over in the resurrection accounts, that awe comes over the people that are open to the mysteries that Jesus is revealing. And these people that we hear about today, they're completely committed to living with Christ at the very center of their lives. Even though there's chaos, struggle, and confusion all around them. We know the Jews aren't too happy about this Jesus business rising from the dead. The whole movement of Jesus in the first place. We know that the Romans are nervous because they think the Jews are going to cause a ruckus. So there's a lot of fear and chaos around them. But instead of getting consumed by all that, we heard they eat their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. All the people. Clearly the focus is on God, not on themselves. And as a result, as we also heard, many wonders and signs are done. And every day the Lord adds to their number those who are being saved. What a beautiful way to live. But friends, this is not just some kind of pie in the sky ideal. God wants this for all of us too. Now, of course, the Christian community is a little larger than it was in those days, so it's physically impossible for us to all literally live in that intimate of a community. But the Lord still wants us to break bread together, to pray together, and to serve one another. No doubt about it. And that's the best way to live. So let this not only be our hope, but let it increasingly become our reality. But note as well here that, you know, we're not talking about some kind of hippie commune here, nor is it a panacea where everything is just blissfully amazing. Living this way takes much hard work, especially embracing those different from you. And yes, even in this first Christian community, I'm sure there's people that didn't get along very well. This person drove that person nuts, right? They're human beings. And so living this way requires us to bear our share of the cross, to have great patience and humility. Any of you who are watching The Chosen, they do a very good job of showing that all these men and women that lived with Jesus, it wasn't exactly sunshine and lollipops every time they turned around, right? There were troubles, but they're fighting through them in a beautiful way. Of course, we live in a society that doesn't exactly encourage this type of living. It encourages a lot of animosity, right? We see it all over in popular culture. Plus, we have to work against our own concupiscence, the brokenness of human nature that impacts us more generally. But such a life is indeed very possible, or God would not call us to it. He doesn't call us to fairy tales. He calls us to things that are real. St. Peter knew this struggle all too well, so he gives us much encouragement in today's marvelous second reading as he beautifully reveals true Christian hope and joy. I quote here, "Blessed be God, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." How can we not be amazed by that statement, right? That's pretty amazing. And that's right at the beginning of the first letter of Peter that I've been encouraging you to read throughout the Easter season. Note that it is God's mercy that leads the way, his divine mercy. As Peter leads off the statement, talking about his mercy, gives us this new birth. It makes possible this new birth. And what's he talking about here? Baptism, of course, the birth in the sacred waters. And this is a birth into a living hope, he says. Not some kind of stagnant, stunted hope in earthly things, but a living hope. A hope in something eternal. Not passing here on earth, but indeed hope in an inheritance that God keeps for you in heaven. He's keeping it for you, for when your time comes. Moreover, Peter encourages us, you are safeguarded even now by the power of God through faith. Through the gift of faith. If you walk with that faith, God is safeguarding it with his very power as you journey toward that inheritance that he's keeping for you in heaven. Look how much he loves you, brothers and sisters, every single one of you, and me too. Therefore, as Peter urges us on, respond with joy and confidence when trials and suffering come your way. These are simply vehicles to grow deeper in your faith and to grow deeper in relationship with Christ, who, of course, suffered dearly for you. Therefore, let us welcome God's divine mercy and place all of our hope in him and all that he offers us, trusting in faith that he will deliver on his promises. Then we will love more like our Lord and live more like Peter and those first Christians, in amazement of the Lord's grace and mercy working freely among us. So in conclusion, take the following encouragement from St. Peter to heart and strive to live in this wonderful way every day. Rejoice with an indescribably and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.